Today, we'd like to send a special thank you to the following restaurants for supporting No Goat Left Behind: Vinegar Hill House, Purple Yam, and Roberta's. Show your support at these restaurants by ordering one of the menu items featuring goat. Goat is the most eaten protein in the entire world, yet in the US we import most of our goat. Our dairy farms are forced to kill some male goats at birth because there's no market for them. Help make a change. Support No Goat Left Behind. We talk about food. We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
You came with your faith unshaken, unabashed. Oh my darling, you're amazing with your hands. Your name is the only word that I hear. I cut your hair short so I could see your ears, and I could know you. Hear my name, hear my name. You'll be shorn and I'll be sure.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolic is on the road again today. He is shooting his new pilot for the Cooking Channel, and I wish him best of luck. in studio today, we have Laura Stevenson and a can, right?
Yeah.
What song was that?
That's a song called Master of Art.
Okay. And we're going to be hearing more from you a little bit, playing some songs live.
Yes.
You can. I'm trying to make it like the least nervous radio experience. That you've been pre-warned.
All right, cool.
The audience, you already warned me.
So yeah.
But for all of you out there who are longtime listeners, thank you. But for those of you who have just started tuning into us, now would be a good time to pause the podcast or live stream and go back to episode 60, where today's guest, George Most, was... Did I get it right?
Moats, close.
Yeah. Damn it.
That's okay.
You even corrected me last time, and I was like, I'm going to get it right. And then you think, which one was right? Anyway, hear me pronounce his last name incorrectly. A number back in December 2010, episode 60 with She Keeps Bees, who I absolutely love, on our podcast. And pause. Welcome back. And George, welcome back to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks for having me on.
So for those of you who just tuned in, tuned back from that, you know that George was looking for submissions for the festival at the time, and the festival was supposed to happen in June.
Right.
George, who is the... Well, tell us what you do.
Well, I do a few things. I wrote a book about hamburgers called Hamburger America, which the new revised edition just came out this past May. So we added an additional 52 restaurants to the book. So that's a total of 150 hamburger joints in the book now.
You look very good for a man that eats a lot of hamburgers.
I work out every day.
I mean, that's what you have to do, right?
I have to. I consider my hamburger intake to be a privilege, not a right.
What's the exercise routine?
I usually ride 6 miles on the bike, stationary bike every day. I run a mile, and then I usually lift weights.
Okay. So. And the weights are not your no word for hamburgers.
No, right. It's like I'm doing hamburger curls, yeah, right? Yeah. Hamburger curls.
That's amazing.
I'm also the host of a new show on the Travel Channel called Made in America,
which we're going to get to in the second part of your interview.
Right. And I'm also the director of the NYC Food Film Festival,
which is why we brought you here today. Right. So the festival was supposed to happen in June.
Yeah, for the last 4 years, it's actually been in June traditionally. And we decided to move it this year mostly because of the weather. We were also competing with a bunch of other festivals that were happening in June, like Aspen Food and Wine and a few other big ones. And it was just too damn hot.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think that this is the best time to do a film. First off, I mean, the weather is amazing in New York this weekend for any of you who are out. But this seems perfect. It seems like I would not mind being inside or planning to be inside to eat and watch some movies or shorts.
Exactly.
And it's good. So how was the submission process?
It was tremendous. I mean, every year the films, I'm not kidding, the films get better and better. Yeah. And we also noticed a lot of people are actually making films for our festival now.
Right, which you had mentioned before.
It's actually happening even more so.
So do those films, if they get made, do you accept the ones that are made for your festival? Like, what do you say for, like, we made this for you guys? Like, it's not very good.
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, the submission process was highly competitive this year. Yeah. We ended up accepting 28 films, and there were about over 150 entries this year.
Had to trim a lot of fat.
Yeah. I was only a small part of the submission process. You know,
That's what you say.
Yeah,
that's so when people come up to you, you're like, it wasn't me, I promise. It's just George, everybody. You told me that off mic. Go get him.
No, it's jury.
He lives at... No.
It was totally jury. It has to be. They keep it fair. I couldn't possibly be like, you know, the overarching god of food films, you know?
Are there any that... are there like the 29th film that you're like... You can get the opportunity to give a shout out. Be like, I'm so sorry I didn't make it in. It was just like not enough time.
You know, that's a good point. There actually is one film that I felt bad about.
That's why I'm in the interviewer seat.
Exactly right. There was a film that was called Bon Appetit New York. And it was literally on the edge for probably 3 weeks. We played with this thing back and forth. And then we couldn't show it because the subject of the film, we were afraid the audience would not truly understand what was going on. It was a film about a woman who basically is a freegan. She goes and eats out of the garbage.
Right.
And we kept saying, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we make it so that people will bring a dumpster to the event and we'll all eat out of the garbage. That's not going to work. So it was a really hard time trying to figure out how to make that event so.
Right. Just for the people who, because we didn't explain it, we explained the last one, that there's food pairing with all the films.
Right.
So you have recreated restaurants, you've brought in, you know, great chefs, oysters, shocking things along those lines. So that would Darren Terrier, who's not here, his first piece that he ever made was for Current TV was on freegan,
right?
Freeganism.
No, that's why we were on the fence, because it's such a great movement. It's a great idea. I mean, it's a whole different side of the food world that we were looking to explore. But at the end of the day, we said, how are we going to do?
I mean, could you have brought in a dumpster and then? But you couldn't have had like a chef put the food in there, because I would go against it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it was so hard. I tell you, it was so hard, and I feel bad for that filmmaker because it was there. It was right there on the edge, and that was the one film that we really are on the fence about.
Is there a place where they can see the film just so we can give them a little?
It's a good question. I can't even remember the filmmaker's name at all, but it was called Bon Appetit New York.
All right, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was about a Korean girl living in New York City trying to live off of garbage. Good garbage.
Good garbage.
Yeah. Tasty garbage.
But so there are some films that did make it in.
Yeah.
And the opening night has to be near and dear to your heart. Cheers to burgers and beers.
Cheers to burgers and beers, yeah.
How did you select who was going to make the burgers?
Well, it's a good question. We have some great friends at Bill's Bar and Burgers. They're actually in a film. They're actually starring in a film that's in that night called Burgerlution, all about the rise of sort of fast food to fine dining hamburgers. So they're in the film, so they're going to be making burgers. We also were showing a film about that's being made by the Good Beer Seal, people who you know put the Good Beer Seal on beer. Our friends,
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, our friends at Idle Hands Bar, and our good friends at Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's 43 is going to be there as well with tons of beer.
Amazing! Yeah, shouts out to Jimmy.
Big beer and burger night. We're looking forward to that.
And what are the film? What are the film pairings, if you will?
Well, we're going to be showing a film about Blue Point Brewery, which is out in Long Island.
No one can see you guys nodding.
I'm pointing at a guy from Long Island over here.
Yeah, we realize that everybody here is from Long Island, except for me.
Right. So we're showing a film about Blue Point beer. We're showing a film about this film called Burgerlution. We're showing that night. What else are we doing that night?
Well, your website says it's the opening night, benefiting Food Bank for NYC, and then you have Cud.
Cud. Yeah, Cud is a film by one of our favorite food filmmakers, a guy named Joe York, who's from the University of Mississippi in Oxford. And he makes amazing. He made the guy. I think he's made probably 30 or 40 food films now to date. And he sent us a film. It's called Cud. And it's about a Georgia rancher who has gotten rid of the whole corn-fed model for raising his cattle. And he's raising them all grass-fed now. And it's sort of his very simple and basic way of explaining why it's better to do it this way.
So, I mean, I know that it's better to do it for you physically, but right. Financially, how is he doing it?
He seems to be okay. He didn't really talk about the financial stuff in the film, but you know, he said that there's obviously a better way to raise animals, and this is it. So
that's
one side of the story. I mean, there's different other sides. I mean, the taste is not quite there as far as I'm concerned. But
you think that corn-fed's better than grass-fed?
It taste-wise, definitely. I mean, I think our taste.
Really?
Yeah, I think our taste is actually taste buds in America are probably geared more towards corn-fed beef for sure. And I think we'll eventually get there. If you're obviously in Argentina or Brazil, you're eating all grass-fed beef, so your taste buds are sort of shifted towards that.
So, like when you have like a really nice grass-fed steak in front of you, you're just like, I wish that there was a little bit of corn mixed up in here.
Yeah, it would help a little bit. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but you know, we're gonna get there.
I'm a little surprised, but yeah. It makes sense. I mean, you can definitely taste the difference.
You can taste the grass.
You can taste the grass. So that's the opening night, and then we have the closing night. Is the farm to film to table?
Yes, Amanda Freitag is going to be our guest chef that night, and she's going to be kicking some serious butt that night.
And I like that it's Chipotle is involved.
Yes,
we were just Darren is working with Richard Blaze, and they were just in Chicago, and Chipotle is actually doing a lot of initiatives to raise awareness of farm to table. The question asked is, are they doing that with their restaurants? They are.
I don't know about the farm-to-table thing, but they're definitely all serving all fresh ingredients, and they're obviously trying to stay organic and all natural.
Which is interesting because the idea behind fast food is that the burrito that you get in New York is going to be the same as the burrito you're getting to California, and
right.
This method, that's not the case. It's going to taste a little different.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure they're using all local ingredients. They're definitely trying to keep it real as much as they possibly can.
Which, to go on like a more policy side, that it takes someone with that much money to be able to, you know, dictate the way that, you know, their revenue is generated and spent in marketing and all those type of things. So it's like very interesting. It's the only way it's going to change.
It's a lot more work, too.
Yeah.
They're willing to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would now probably go eat Chipotle. Probably eat one here and eat one with someone else just to see how different it would be.
Well, I'll tell you, the reason you should eat at Chipotle is not so much for that, but definitely for their hot sauce. Because, I mean, they have hot sauce. It's actually freaking hot.
Really?
You know, it's like, you always hot sauce. Yeah, it's kind of mild. That's not hot. They actually have, like, freaking hot sauce. It's super hot.
Wow, I did.
That's good to know.
The specific Chipotle brand Tabasco sauce, that one? Like the brown?
If I say, give me hot sauce, and then they throw it on there, it's like, wow, that's okay. I wasn't expecting that, but that makes me happy. Yeah. You know, that's hot.
And they're going to be showing Truck Farm. Could you elaborate on that movie?
Yes. From the makers, one of the makers, I think, of King Korn. This film was submitted to the festival. It's basically, it's a great doc. It's a beautiful doc about a couple of guys, one guy, I think, who actually turns the flatbed of his pickup truck into the bay of his truck into a small farm. actually supplies some, you know, some food for some of the from the restaurateurs in New York City.
That is amazing. We're going to take a musical break, and then we're going to come
back.
Hey,
Greg, this is Jack. We just got an email from the executive producer of the Food Film Festival, who says that he will give tickets to the farm and farm to film to table. Very for nice free to the first caller.
Oh, ooh, first caller. Wow.
Which would also be the first caller we've ever had to this show since August 09. So, yeah, go for it. Jack, what's the number?
It's 718-497-2128.
Yeah, call away. All right, so we have George in here from the... and by the way, all this can be found on the Food Film Festival, allspelledout.com, with ticket information and all those type of good stuff. And then we'll be back to talk about Made in America and all the other million projects you have going on.
Yeah, thanks.
You are listening to Snacky Tunes Live. All right. We really actually just play that song, not just to like give a break, but just so all the guests can eat pizza and like while it's still warm. It's really just a food thing. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Finger on the Pulse. We have George from the New York, the Food Film Festival. I want to say New York, but there's also Chicago one.
There's Chicago now.
And before, as you talked about expanding, is that still like hush hush, or
we're working on it. Yeah, we're trying to expand at the rate that at which we can control what's going on.
Okay,
so just a little slower than we thought.
Before we get to Made in America, let's talk about Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, let's get those voices on Saturday.
Saturday night,
which is essentially the porn part of the festival.
That's right.
And why don't you take us through what the evening will be? I'm thinking sauces. Bone marrow, sausages, things along,
that's right.
all things S.
Yeah, well, actually, it started by we decided this year after seeing lots of food porn come into the festival, food porn meaning, which is basically it's usually beautiful shots of food set to music with no dialogue. No dialogue. It's all just sexy shots, beautiful, beautiful shots of food. But then we started seeing a lot come in the last couple of years. And we just said, hey, you know, we should actually, why don't we create a food porn category for the awards? We actually have a food porn award this year for the first time. And then after we got sort of all these films came in, this came flooding in, all these food porn films, and decided to actually make a food porn night. So Saturday night is going to be the food porn night.
What are you wearing? besides a rain slicker.
I haven't decided yet. I don't know. Something sexy.
So what can one expect?
Well, we're actually showing 8 short films that are all...
It's not about the length of the film.
It's not about the length. A lot of them are short, though. A lot of them are very... none of them are very long at all. But the idea is that you see a film about... There's this very sexy film about an octopus being made, mm-hmm. being caught, and then, of course, you know, cleaned and made. And it's, of course, set to music, beautiful music and soundtrack. And, of course, we're going to be eating octopus that night as well. So whatever you see on the screen, you're going to be able to eat. I made a film about sex, the new Saxon and Parole, and Brad Farmery. But it's all just straight up food porn that just features Boudin Noir and Pig's Head Terrine.
Which is amazing.
Which is incredible. And to eat any of Brad's food is incredible. But then to actually have, to be able to see him make it on the screen and then eat it, it's truly amazing.
It's very like the now.
It's very now.
It's like, I get it now.
Yeah, I get that now. I want that now.
Yeah, that's such an amazing component of this where it's like you are actually living what's on the screen, which is great, which is why I think people love it so much.
Yeah, it's not just about the food itself, but it's also about you're actually eating exactly what's on the screen in a way. You know, maybe it's the chef made it, or it's the exact same ingredients, mm-hmm. or the exact same recipe.
And there's still tickets available for everything.
They're selling out fast, but there's tickets available right now.
Right, Jack. Do we have a contest winner? Did someone actually call?
Yeah. Hey. Congratulations, Lisa Cheng.
Oh, wow. Hey, Lisa, you are the first contest winner and caller of Snacky Tunes.
She also goes by Astoria Gal.
Oh, is that? I'm guessing that's a Twitter. So it's a follow our story ago.
Yeah. Good.
See how maybe she'll live tweet from the event.
There you go.
And
she should. We definitely promote live tweeting. Us.
Oh, what's the Twitter for the event?
It's Food Film Fest.
Food Film Fest. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was still out there.
I got it years ago.
Oh, okay.
I think right like the second day of Twitter, I think I picked it up.
Really coveted. So as we've talked about before, you just don't do film festivals. You write books about hamburgers.
Right.
By the way, top 3 hamburgers in New York?
Oh, I can't keep it top 3. But you need my burger GPS.
Okay.
That's another thing we have.
What is that?
It's very basic. It's just it's a GPS-based hamburger map with all the suggestions that come from me.
Is it an app?
It's an app, yeah. And it's pretty basic. You just you hit this button on it that just says nearby, wherever you are, Nashville, you know, L.A., boom, hit the nearby button, and it goes zooming right into where you are and shows you where the nearest best burger is.
Wow.
There's no Wendy's or no other.
Obviously. I have to ask, because I didn't ask this last time, have you had Miss Ann Snack Shack down in Atlanta?
Yeah, of course I have.
I don't even know if she's doing it, but...
Yeah, she's still there, apparently. She's still there. She's threatened to retire for the last 5 years. And
she's got
to
be in her 90s now.
Yeah, she has, I think, one or two sons that work there. She's not that old. She's probably in her 70s, I think, now.
For anybody that happens to be a listener in Atlanta, Georgia, actually, if you're from there, you probably know it. If you're going to Atlanta, Miss Ann Snack Shack, just carve out 2 hours before and then the rest of your day afterwards and get the ghetto burger.
Yeah, the ghetto
burger. It's pretty... Vernon Jordan declared it a National Historic Site. Yeah. And Wall Street Journal called it the best burger of like 2009 or 2010. Yeah,
it's a great burger. It's also a great story because she actually... It was a great story with Miss Ann was that a Checkers opened up 2 doors down, mm-hmm. tried to put her out of business, basically.
Really?
And so she said, you know, I'm going to change everything about this place. And she actually switched from frozen beef to fresh ground and made this thing called the ghetto burger and it put her on the map and... The rest is history.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your show.
The show, Made in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the Travel Channel. It airs Tuesday night, so tomorrow night, at 8 p.m. And we were joking around calling it sort of like the clean jobs of Mike Rowe's dirty jobs.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
I get to go into factories and I make Tabasco and I make a Corvette this week. This week I make a Corvette. And I go to Wiffle Ball and I make Wiffle Balls and It's a lot of fun.
How do you make a wiffle ball?
It's just two pieces of plastic that are stuck together.
Oh. So now you don't need to watch the episode. There you go. So, yeah. So there you go.
You actually get to see me play a wiffle ball game inside the factory with all the employees.
That's pretty awesome.
That's kind of fun.
And how long... This is your first season on the...
Yeah, first season.
You did not... Was this in the works when we spoke back in December?
No. This just happened February. February is when it first came around.
And there's like a rich history to the show, correct?
Yeah. Well, it's a franchise they already own. The Travel Channel owns already. It aired for, I think, four or five seasons with John Ratzenberger, who's the Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
Which is crazy.
Right. It's crazy. He was very, very supportive of American-made products. But they were looking for somebody else recently, so they called me and said, would you like to do it? And I said, you're insane.
It's great. Yeah. I'm excited. So Tuesday's on the Travel Channel.
Tuesday's the Travel Channel, yeah.
And last but not least, you brought something for...
Oh, yeah. Actually, one of the trips up to Massachusetts, I fell in love with this chip called the Wachusett. And it's just one of the best freaking potato chips I've ever had in my life.
Well, I'll have you know that my favorite snack is regular potato chips.
And you gotta try these.
All right, try this.
Well, George, from Massachusetts.
Thank you so much. Do you want to give us all the social media? I know that.
Oh my god! I don't
even pick a couple because we don't have all time for yours.
Motzburger. My Twitter handle is Motzburger.
Spell it out since it doesn't.
M O T Z B U R G E R.
Okay.
And then Food Film Fest.
Which is great. It goes Thursday through Sunday.
Yep.
I will probably be there Friday.
Excellent. Please be there.
Yes. And I'm excited. I'm so happy that you got to join us. And we'll have you on next time when we were looking for submissions.
Yeah, excellent.
Next time.
Thanks for having me.
And trailers, everything, all the stuff on the website. It's great. So now you guys. Actually, we're going to play some songs. And then we're going to have Laura and Half a Can talking about music and food and Czech radio and whatever else you want to think. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. Coming up next, we have one of my two songs that I absolutely in love with, the Off the New Girls record Vomit, and then The Breaks by Planning to Rock. Looking for you. All right. I love that song. Playing to Rock, The Breaks, the dudes from DFA gave me that record, and that song has been on repeat. But we're not here to talk about that. We're talking here about Laura Stevenson and the Cans. We're missing a can today.
We're missing a couple.
Of them, yeah. Three cans.
Depending on the lineup of the evening, there can be many cans. Sometimes three, sometimes one. Depends.
Depends.
Well, usually it's a five-piece band.
But yeah. Let's get to the real question. Who plays the glockenspiel?
That's Peter, who's not here.
So this interview is over. I'd like to thank everybody for coming today. So Laura, why don't you give our listeners a little background?
On us?
On you. Us.
I am Laura. And this is Mike in the studio today. We have an accordion player named Alex. Peter on guitar and glock, and then Dave on drums. That's the kind of, you know, the concrete lineup right now, touring lineup. We started in like 2007. We're all from here, New York, New Jersey area. Peter's from Pennsylvania, but we don't talk about that. And
I'm from Pennsylvania. Oh. This is going very well.
I'm just kidding. Pennsylvania's great. My grandparents lived in the Poconos.
Okay.
Very
all
nice.
Right. Back on track. Back on track.
Yeah. And we like playing music together. We just got back from Europe.
Where were you in Europe?
We did a lot of countries. As far east as Slovakia.
Self-booked promoter?
We have an agent over there who booked the whole thing, yeah.
A very, very nice gentleman that took very good care of us.
Yeah. How did you travel around?
We had a Sprinter van.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it was good. But none of us were really well-versed in driving stick shift before going over there.
Okay.
So we kind of took a crash course a couple weeks before and then really got into it the first day after getting off the red-eye flight in Berlin, in the middle of Berlin, kind of learning.
Oh, you didn't have a driver, was you?
No, just us.
No, yeah. Somebody picked us up from the airport. He was like from the rental company, and he picked us up from the airport, and then he was like, okay, you guys can drive me to the train station. I'll take the train back. And so we drove him to the train station and waited for him to get on the train before we drove away because we didn't want him to see us stalling out immediately.
You're like, please don't stall on the way to the train.
We learned pretty quickly, though.
Yeah, but we didn't know how to do the reverse button, and so when we got to Berlin and we had to get into a parking spot and we had to back into it, we just put it in neutral and pushed the car into the spot, and then the next day we figured out that you have to like press something and
we were thinking that day, like, because it was like a 33-day tour, and we were like, imagine at the end of this tour when we look back and think how we didn't know how to put it in reverse. Like, how stupid.
Really dumb.
I mean, but that's what makes things so great. I want to get into a song, and then I want to talk about food adventures. So, Mike, you know, you can think about that while Laura concentrates on the song. But what's the first song you're going to play for us?
This is a song called Holy Ghost. It's about my dad. He lives on Long Island on a houseboat in Port Washington. So it's about living on the water, I guess.
Okay. Laura Stevenson live on Snacky Tunes Radio.
Here we go. Scratching sweetly in the middle of the night. My father is so tired, he can feel your weight upon him, crushing gently, sweetly, nightly, from his house upon the sea. Make it all right. Make it all right, make it all right, make it. get all
applause is not equivalent to the, how awesome that was. That was great.
Thank you. I was losing my headphones throughout the course of that song.
That's all right. That's kind of how it goes here. So let's get back to Europe. Are you all vegetarians, carnivores? Is there a mix?
I don't eat beef or pork or anything with eyelashes. I guess is really the only the only thing that stops me. From eating everything.
Our drummer Dave is a vegetarian across the board, but everybody else but Laura and Dave eat meat.
Yeah.
Eat anything we can get.
The pork-free thing was hard because Europe, it's like all about the pork, so it was hard.
Any memorable dishes or meals?
Well, I mean, it's really different touring in Europe than in the States as far as like accommodation and hospitality, like the way the promoters and the people putting the shows together treat the bands. Like, we rarely paid for a meal. It was always like breakfast, lunch, and dinner was like covered by you know, whatever entity was putting the show together. But some really great sausage in Germany, Wiener Schnitzel, really amazing.
I had so much bread every day. I think I gained 12 pounds. I'm afraid to get on a scale, but everything is small, everything is bad right now. We just got back on Tuesday, so.
Oh, you mean clothing wise?
Yeah, I'm joining Dolphin Fitness in Rockville Center tomorrow.
And are you saying it was like a lot of like meats wrapped in bread type?
Yeah,
situation?
bread and cheese.
Yeah,
lot it's crazy.
Of cheese.
Considering how like thin a lot of those people look, like what their diets are.
Yeah,
I can't imagine any food catastrophes. Like, I can't wait to.
Some bad food in the UK. Oh, we had some really bad Mexican food in Scotland. Ooh.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like a place to get good Mexican food.
No.
You know?
You guys got Mexican food. I would feel like, you know, everywhere I've traveled that's not attached to Mexico by like land, I would think that like having
an enormous ocean.
Yeah, I would feel like just there is just so much lost in like transatlantic translation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they used Swiss cheese and like this really sweet like marinara sauce. It was like, it was really disaster, but that wasn't our active decision. We were kind of just like, that was what we were fed. Yeah. So we were like, all right, well, if we pretend it's not Mexican food.
And it's just something it's entirely
like,
different.
Yeah, just like food. Then
deconstructed Mexican food.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Like,
sure.
Burritos always spelled with like one or three R's. It's like super, super terrible. Just like a steer clear. I'm sure that there's some international foods that are just like, if they were to try to do it here, it'd be like, there's no way that you can get.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The ingredients. Or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't get Mexican across the Atlantic, I guess.
I think like that's a word to live by.
Yeah.
I feel like that is totally a word to live by. So now you're back.
Yeah.
And what do future months hold for you?
Oy, what are we doing? We're touring a little bit in November.
I think we're doing some CMJ stuff in the next couple weeks. Like CMJ Festival starts like third week or something.
I feel like it starts earlier each year.
Yeah.
I think it starts yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what we're doing during CMJ, but I know we're doing a bunch of college shows in October and November in the Northeast.
College shows are the best.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're fun. We played at Purchase last night, and it was a really good show. It was like the first, you know, it was our first show back in the States, and it was...
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
My little brother goes there now. He just transferred, so got to see him.
That's awesome.
Check up on him, make sure he's living right.
Do you do a lot of college radio shows?
We've done some, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did BU, did some
You know,
Athens,
my very first radio show was at BU.
Oh, really?
Ever. I don't know. I wonder if it's the same thing.
I heard it used to be crazy and kind of no control and no holds barred.
I mean, I used to... I'm not there anymore, so they right. can't do anything to me. But it used to be like my show was at 2 a.m. on Thursday. So, and it was... I think it was every week. Yeah, it had to be every week. So I would like go out with my book of CDs, get as drunk as I possibly could to like 1:40, bike over there. And then just like do the show, which they like had a live camera, and then pretend like I wasn't totally hammered doing the radio show.
Oh, they could film you.
They did film. I mean, they filmed me. My brother and cohort actually had a show the semester before, and that's how I got a show. And he and his roommates went on and were like so drunk that they actually got banned and in a lot of trouble for it. So.
I think it's a lot different now because it was like it seemed like it was kind of a tight ship. I don't know, but I heard stories of people who graduated BU maybe like 6 years ago or something that have said similar stories to me.
Yeah, didn't Alex have a radio show? Yeah, our accordion player had a radio show.
They would do very
show.
Similar things, just go in the studio with the mic on and just kind of scream drunkenly.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to get in that much trouble, so, but it was definitely like, you know, I mean, it's like you're giving a 19-year-old kid a microphone at 2 a.m. Like, I'm not really sure what you're expecting.
Right, right.
Why don't we get another song?
Okay.
How are those pipes doing?
They're okay.
Okay. They sound great.
Thank you. I think that string's a little...
Uh-oh.
I don't want to know if I should mess around. Sometimes that's a slippery slope. You change one thing, you have to change everything. Nothing's right.
That applies to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. My fingers are a little greasy from the delicious pizza here.
At Roberta's? Restaurant. Thanks, Roberta's. Yeah. It doesn't always, like, there's definitely some grease stains left on some instruments.
No, I'm into it, though. This isn't my guitar, so don't worry.
Lots of confessions today.
All right, this song's called Barnacles. It's from our new record. It's about love. All right, here we go. Let's see how this goes. Barnacles, I am whole again, finally purified, whatever that means. Put your back in it, they lay their roots deep within the pain. Free me from the teeth. Oh, but don't cut too deep.
I gotta give that look at the end. That was great. What's that
was
look
okay?
for?
Oh!
All of Roberta's is cheering.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Beautiful.
We always talk. We used to have like our own sample thing, and I'd always hit like the wrong. It'd be like, There it is. That, literally, that's all I would ever hit.
That's fierce.
That or like it'd be a drop for another show, and I'm just like and we had to cancel. So like be like stop, re-edit. That was great.
Thank you. That was like the Richard Bay show. Do you remember that?
No. What is that?
He had a lot of samples. It was awesome. It was like Jerry Springer, but he had like a sample board thing.
Oh, really?
He'd be like, sit down, shut up. And when a fat person came out, there would be like moo or like pig noise.
Got it. Very, very high class.
Yeah, it was an awesome show.
So that's off the new record, which came out this year?
April 26th.
Which is still this year.
2011.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is the writing process for you guys?
I do
and gal.
The writing alone, and sometimes it's all chopped up into pieces, and so the band helps me weave it together and arrange it to be bigger. Sometimes I have ideas for the other instruments, sometimes they come up with their own ideas, so it's definitely like a give and take. But I need to be alone for the writing, the initial writing process, which, you know, we don't get to have much of right now because we've been on tour and everything's kind of crazy, but I'm excited to.
No songs written in the Sprinter?
Over the summer, I wrote probably like 10. So we're on our way.
Not in the van, though.
No. Yeah, we had an apartment in Crown Heights. So I had some alone time. Mike was working. So that was perfect. We had like 2 months of kind of peace, which was cool.
That's amazing. So we talked about the future. And we talked about that, but like, let's talk about working at the record. All of that good stuff.
You should say that, Mike. I don't know about that.
About what? About working Websites. On the record?
No, where can you get the record?
Oh, where can all you get the record?
He's our tech guy.
Well, I mean, you can get it. It's on Don Giovanni Records.
George is already on iTunes. George. Man, George.
George is downloading
it. George is downloading it. iTunes.
What do you call that? That's an iPad.
That's an iPad.
I was going to call it a lap pad.
A lap pad.
I'm on there.
I mean, if you like vinyl or CDs, if you collect physical records, you can buy it from Don Giovanni Records. It's the label that put it out. Or if you can get it on iTunes.
Is that the label that pays you?
Do they pay us?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. They're great. They're a really good label. And Joe and Zach, the guys who run the label, very detail-oriented, very into talking anytime we need to discuss. Yeah.
And they're going to have a showcase in February, I think. Every year they do a Don Giovanni showcase.
We did it last year. We played, it was at Music Hall Williamsburg, sold out. It was us and Screaming Females and Shell Shag and Lemuria and Birds of Paradise. It was a really, really awesome.
That's awesome.
Show. Yeah.
It's a great lineup.
Yeah.
And really I love good. That venue.
Yeah.
It could be one of the best sound systems in New York.
It's the same say. The same people who do Bowery Ballroom. Mm-hmm. It's just like those people know what they're doing. It's just like great.
So website, Twitter, things like that.
LauraStevensonandTheCans.com.
That's a website, yeah. And Twitter is Laura and the Cans.
It's confusing. Email is LauraAndCans @gmail. Yeah.
It's just all over the place.
We should talk about, you know, a unified message.
I know we tried to do that and I don't know if it worked. And then some of us weren't getting the mass emails and it was a real mess.
We fear change.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. But I want to thank you for coming on Snacky Tunes.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
George is still here with us. Those potato chips he brought were awesome. Ooh, yeah. They had quite the heft to them. Like a heavy Pringle, as long as Wilson put it. I was hoping we can get one more song out of you before we get out of here.
Okay. I think I'm going to do a new one. I just started writing a little bit, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Take these puppies off.
You can take them off.
Is that a cool idea?
Yeah, that's fine. Next week, we're going to have a very special CMJ edition episode. We've got our regular show at 2 p.m., and then we'll be doing 7 p.m. With the founder of Moonshine, Moonshine Liquor, and Hands, and Wallpaper, who wrote our theme song. So that'll be at 7 p.m. next week, and we're very excited for that. So tune in or just sign up for the podcast at Snacky Tunes from the iTunes shop, and I'm getting off the mic and stop running my mouth and let Laura close this out. You've now transferred your nervousness onto me.
Oh no,
it's infectious.
Are your hands clammy and greasy at the same time?
They're greasy, but I think that's more the pizza and the chips. But anyway, thank you for listening. Back next week with more episodes of Snacky Tunes.
All right, this is a song called Bells and Whistles. It's new. Sworn there was a time when we believed.
just how we wanted it, so we could live just as long as anybody ever did. But I was wrong to lie like that. I was wrong to lie like that. And when the air was so cold that it smelled sweet on your coat, and the concrete got swollen and roared and it swallowed you whole, I said, don't try to argue with it. It will take you home. It's just another road under the one you used to know. But I lied to you. I didn't have a choice but to. I lied to you. And I can't hide forever and remain ashamed of it. I can't cover my hands and tell you not to blame me. That you are a speck in a pile of dust, and everything you love will turn into crumbs. So stop worrying, worrying, worry some love. Stop worrying, worry some love. And the bells and the whistles make deafening sounds. And you can see an ending, it's clear as a bell. When the sound of your headache is louder than hell, in the bend of a note you're alone. In the bend of a note you're alone. You're alone. So don't waste it all worrisome.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network.
Shout out Lisa Chen.
And all of our archived programs.
You won.
Heritage Radio Network.
Free tickets.
As well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also... Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following message has been brought to you by Taste Brooklyn. Our city's finest chefs partner with farmers and local vineyards next to the Green Market for an extraordinary outdoor culinary festival. Try exquisite delicacies using locally grown seasonal delights on the plaza outside Brooklyn's Borough Hall. Top chefs and artisans will offer sumptuous fare paired with premium wines, all to empower our neediest children to get healthy. The mighty FDNY and DSNY harbor their own culinary masters in uniform. They will cook off against the pros. Sample delicious cuisine without stressing over a reservation while supporting a worthy cause. Taste Brooklyn's Feel to Fork Outdoor Culinary Festival, Saturday, October 15th, 2011, from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Learn more and buy tickets at tastesofbrooklyn.blogspot.com. That's tastesofbrooklyn.blogspot.com. As a part of National Food Day, St. John's Bread and Life, Brooklyn's innovative and life-saving food service program based in Bedford-Stuyvesant, is inviting Brooklyn chefs and purveyors to learn about how the organization is marrying the procurement of old-fashioned, locally grown organic produce with the latest technology to deliver healthy, cost-effective meals to those in need. St. John's Bread and Life, located at 795 Lexington Avenue, will hold an open house on Monday, October 24th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Visit www.foodday.org to sign up for the event. This is a public service announcement from Sea to Table and Slow Food NYC.
On October 11th, sustainable seafood distributor Sea to Table will join Slow Food New York City to host an event celebrating the bounty of local New York seafood. The event, Slow You, Sustainable Sashimi, will feature a tasting of four fish species from local Montauk waters. The event will take place on Tuesday, October 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Institute of Culinary Education, 50 West 23rd Street in Manhattan. Tickets are $25 for Slow Food members, $35 for non-members. Visit slowfoodnyc.org for more information about this event and how to get tickets.